What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, December 5th, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the rogue one, Mary Witta.
Mary indeed.
Look what I did there. You see what I did?
Well, I saw what I did and you copied.
We had a conversation beforehand. You mentioned your
Twitter. I changed my Twitter name every Christmas to Mary Witta.
Exactly. Yes. And here's the thing. Last year, the deal was in December, I wore the Santa hat for every Kinda Funny Games Daily.
Oh, really?
I've been kicking around what we could do here, and you and I have come up with the perfect one. Every Witta Wednesday, we wear Christmas sweaters.
Yeah. So I actually borrowed one of yours today.
Exactly, because I dropped this on you. And it's everything Kinda Funny related.
I said to you before the show, if I'd have known you were wearing your Christmas sweater, and I do like the PlayStation...
Thank you. PSX last year. Rest in peace.
Christmas sweater. Had I known, I would have brought mine in, and we could be twinsies. And you said, oh, well, I've got a spare one. But next week... I'll bring in my own.
You want to know why I love this Christmas sweater?
This one?
Yeah.
What do you like about this one?
It's the Miller matching one because we bought it from a pet store. So Porty has one, Jen has one, I have one. I think we might even have a blanket.
You bought this from a pet store?
Yeah, well, an online pet store. You know, I don't know.
But they sell you the whole set, like the human set.
They were selling the human stuff right next to the dog set. Yeah,
right, and they match.
Oh, yeah,
match. So you did this for a Christmas card.
Sure, yeah, exactly.
Great.
Yeah. Now, you also brought this here.
I brought you an early Christmas present.
What is this?
So I know how much you like it when I bring in English snacks and delicacies and treats.
Yeah.
I believe I've brought these in before. The Jaffa Cake.
Jaffa Cakes are fantastic. We love
Jaffa Cakes. The Jaffa Cake is one of the cornerstones, one of the pillars of Great British snacking.
Yeah.
And I think they've done this for the last few years. Every Christmas now, McVitie's, who make the Jaffa Cake, put 40 of them into a massive sleeve that is made up to look like a Christmas cracker, and they release them over the holiday period. So if you want to really go mad on Jaffa Cakes over the Christmas period, and let's face it, who doesn't,
yeah.
This is what you need.
What is a Christmas cracker?
You don't know what, do they not
when
have
you
those
say Christmas
here?
Cracker, that sounds like I'm eating a cracker, like cheese and crackers, but that's not what you mean.
No, but so I guess Christmas crackers aren't really a thing as much here as they are in other parts of the world.
Not to my knowledge.
So imagine this were a real Christmas cracker.
Okay.
There wouldn't be anything like this long. It would be much shorter.
Sure, round. Okay.
And it would be made out of foil.
Okay.
But typically what you do is we both take our end of it,
uh-huh.
and there's a little explosive fuse in the middle.
Oh, and so we tug it, and it pops.
But it will break. It's kind of like when you pull a wishbone. You know, when you do a wishbone?
Yeah.
It'll break in favor of one half or the other. Same is true of the Christmas cracker. And if you get the short end, you lose. You get nothing.
Sure.
But if you get the long end, then you get whatever's inside the Christmas
cracker. Oh, wow. Okay.
Which is usually an assortment of pure tat. So like a bad joke, like on a little piece of paper, kind of thing that you usually see written on a, you remember Laffy Taffy have those bad jokes?
Sure. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
A paper hat, like a paper crown.
Okay, wow.
And some kind of cheap children's toy, the kind of thing you would usually find in
the
kindergarten.
I thought when you were talking about it, it kind of looks like how Smarties look when they're rolled up. You're familiar with the candy Smarties? They're terrible.
I'm very familiar with the Smarties.
I thought that's what you were going to say when you're talking about Christmas cracker. I didn't realize
stuff. These ends here, crimped ends are a tribute to the Christmas cracker design. It doesn't really look like a Christmas cracker. And it's amazing to me sometimes how different Christmas traditions are over here. A Christmas cracker, as cheesy and terrible as they are, are a big part of English Christmas festivities. It's a traditional part of your Christmas dinner. Before or after the dinner, you pull the Christmas crackers.
Now you say that. I've watched Love Actually many times. I've never seen a Christmas cracker.
Is that your baseline for what is and isn't Christmas?
And what is and isn't British.
Isn't love.
That's what it is. And isn't love. Yeah, okay. We're going to get into these
Jaffa
Cakes.
So you get four of these packs, 10 in a pack.
Sure.
Comes in here. If you're interested in getting more, I know the secret store in San Francisco that sells these. That's where I got them from.
Yeah.
And I'll be able to hook. I'll give you the hook. I'll give you my secret stash.
Look at, there's so much stuff going on. It says walking in a Jaffa Wonderland.
Have a crack in Christmas. That's really bad.
Oh, because it's Christmas cracker.
That's about as far as it goes.
But even the box here says, which Jaffa Cake eater are you? Number one, the rounder. And I like Jaffa Cakes. I like their styles. When we were in their UK, and I swear we'll talk about video games eventually, UK when we were in England hanging out in London.
Because you were there just recently.
And we went to a corner store, a shop, as they say. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because we had to buy some Vittles.
The Great British Corner Shop.
And
we are a nation of shopkeepers.
I got to introduce Jen to Hobnobs for the first time.
Oh,
because you had turned me on to
Hobnobs?
Yeah, on the Game Over Reggie
show.
Good. Are you kidding me? Come on now.
So good.
Dynamite.
That oaty, malty, crunchy taste.
So delicious.
So good. Yeah. But this is one of this and the Jammy Dodger.
Oh, the Jammy Dodger.
Are my two all-time favorites.
Everybody, if you haven't seen this, the Game Over Reggie show, and put Gary Witta there and you search. Gary brings
If aliens landed and said, bring us your best snacks and the future of your species will be judged on the quality of your snacks, I would bring them Jaffa Cakes and I would bring them Jammy Dodgers.
And you'd win.
What would you bring? from the American side.
So snacks, like not Portillo's. I can't bring Portillo's.
So
I got
to
bring
a flying saucer lands on the Washington Mall, and you happen to be there. And just because you happen to be passing by, you're chosen by the aliens to be the designated representative of the human race. Not a bad choice. To be frank.
Exactly. I'm pretty much the everyman. You know what I mean?
What I'd want to do is
here's what I. These guys are there. They have supreme technology. They're clearly going to rule the entire universe. Right.
They could snuff you out like that.
I'm just going to lay it on the line and try to build a civilization around what I like. And I would bring them a Nestle Crunch bar and a Mounds bar and say, here you go.
Because Mounds
bars are awesome. And I refuse to listen to you people.
You just doomed the entire human
race. Maybe they're going to like it. And guess what? If they don't like coconut and chocolate, I don't want to live in that world anyway. Oh, if you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be a part of the show. KindaFunny.com/KFGD with your questions, comments, concerns, bad PSN names for a little while longer, and everything else under the video game sun. Then tune in to watch us record it live at twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, we have a special job for you. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe.
I honestly don't know if I can go on with you this have show. To. The, you ma- have the mounds to. Thing is going to bug me
mounds
the whole show.
Mounds are great.
Don't be one
of these people who's like, oh, mounds suck, but almond joys are great. They're the same thing.
Except mounds are better. And they both suck.
No.
Almond joy doesn't even have almonds in it.
I'm opening up.
It's a coconut bar.
It's on top. They have the one almond.
Gross.
Because that's the treat.
Almond is the only joy you will find in the bar. Is that one almond? I would just pick off the almond and throw away the bar and eat the almond.
You know what? I'm sorry that I'm more culturally diverse than you, and I appreciate coconut and everything Hawaii's brought us.
Coconut is gross, dude. Do you drink that coconut LaCroix? Do you like that?
I don't drink LaCroix in general.
You don't drink it?
No, I drink water off the tap. You know what I mean? Makes me strong. Maybe gave me cancer. Nobody knows. Housekeeping for you! Game Awards Watch Along is Thursday. That's right. Tomorrow, the Game Awards are happening. You can watch them along with Tim and Andy. Andrea and I will be at the Game Awards, probably drunk. The show starts at 6 p.m. I imagine our guys, that specific time, will start probably like 5:45. You can watch along, react with them, see what they do. If that Crash Bandicoot stuff happens for Team Racing, you know Tim's going to lose his mind, and you'll want to see it happen
live. You have
live.
Good seats? VIP seats?
No, I doubt it. The seating.
I mean, you're an alumni. You're a past winner.
Oh, I know. I keep telling Jeff that.
That you should be in some kind of roped off area.
You'd think so, right? You think I should be given everything. But even the, you know, I almost like, I don't know what would have happened, but I think I almost didn't get my award in 2015 because my tickets had a seat number on them, right?
Yeah.
So I went to those seats. And then I noticed like people scuttling around like the row in front of me with headsets and like freaking out. And then Greg Rice from Double Fine texted me and he's like, it was right after they had made an announcement of like, everybody go to your seats. And he's like, you have to get to your seat. And I thought he was joking. I was like, yeah, whatever. And then eventually a person in the headset noticed me and was like, Greg Miller. I'm like, yeah, like you're supposed to be sitting here like one row back. I was like, oh, well, my ticket said this. So they moved me and then literally the next award, I won.
Oh, so you were supposed to be in some like staging area?
A specific seat, I think, because they were like, have a camera ready to film him.
Right.
If so he wins,
oh,
or
my God.
Oh, I had no idea.
You like me. You
exactly.
That must have felt good winning that award.
That was a good day. I don't have many of them, Gary. That was a good one. The Kind of Funny Game Showcase is Saturday, believe it or not. We have 60 games to show you, and we couldn't be more excited. Come see what we've got Saturday, December 8th at 10 a.m. Pacific time on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're out and about, you can follow at kindoffunnyvids, where Joey Noel will be posting each and every trailer as it happens. And you can catch the showcase later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live with us on Saturday, as I hope you will be, remember we're doing a Super Smash Brothers Ultimate After Party directly following the showcase where we'll be here celebrating the fact that we did it. One way or another, it's happening and ending.
So I will say that I had an opportunity to see a little bit of the showcase back behind this. I'm not going to give anything away.
No. I knew
just behind the scenes.
You're a smart guy. I wanted to say, you didn't even get to see some of it. You're the first person outside of Tim and myself. You and me saw it for the first time together. I've never seen that much of it. I've only seen the intro as we've been noting it to death. Like you and I, that's the first time anybody's really seen that since Tim started.
And it's great. You guys did a great job. Far more professional than I would have thought you guys would have been capable of.
That is the hope, is that we're going to catch people off guard. I think, you know, so many people...
Holy shit, this looks like this was made by people that know what they're doing.
Exactly. So many people were afraid we're just going to do it from here with Kevin laughing just off like, mic as we like show trailer after trailer.
It's professionally edited. It's got real music. It's properly lit.
Yeah.
You guys went on location.
We're a lot of location shoots. We look good. it is. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You saw it. You're like, is there a teleprompter? I'm like, well, no, we memorized
it's
this.
It's really well edited.
Yeah.
It's like a professional thing.
And this is something that happened on the subreddit this morning where they were asking, is it family friendly?
I didn't see anything that wasn't family friendly.
I'm fairly certain we don't curse in it, I said. On the same thread, Tim chimes in and said, at least one trailer definitely has a fuck in it. Otherwise, we decided to keep it pretty on the up and up. The Smash After Party, of course, will be us being
that will
kind
be completely
right. But if you want to watch it, it seems like there's just one fuck in there. So Smash, it's like a PG-13
Smash
movie.
Smash will be out at that point?
Yeah, Smash comes out Friday. We can't wait. Are you a Smash fan?
Well, I've mentioned this a number of times. I still want to do the thing where I come in and Tim teaches me to play Smash. Mm-hmm. Because I really want to get into Smash. I've tried it in various previous incarnations. I bought the Wii U version.
Yeah.
I've never quite grokked it. I've never quite gotten it.
Sure.
But I feel like if the Grandmaster, Mr. Geddes,
yeah,
were to...
Oh, we wanted to do this. I remember talking about this series.
Take on the Mr. Miyagi role...
Come over
I would
Saturday.
Happily be Daniel-san.
Saturday, we're all joining here. We're watching the showcase together. We're in the chat talking to people. We're tweeting. We're doing everything.
Okay.
Then right into the Smash stuff after. Come hang out with us.
What
play
time? What time is this on Saturday?
10 a.m., as I've said multiple times on this very thing.
No. That's when you actually run the showcase.
Yeah. When the showcase ends.
When does the after party start?
When the showcase ends, we roll right into the after party.
So that'll be around like 11-ish?
Still in flux.
Who knows?
Right now, we've talked about this before, of course, with the showcase, that we said 2 hours when I was just doing math and giving us a lot of time. We've come down because we have, 65 games or some ridiculous number that it looks like we're going to get through in like an hour 10.
I might be interested in this.
Maybe an hour 5.
I might be interested in this.
Come on by.
The Smash
we'll be
after
here.
Party.
We'll be hanging out. Come hang out.
Round 11. I'll text you.
To your wrongs already, as I like having this open. Luke Carwolf says, Gary said that Mounds and Almond Joys both suck. Correction, the only thing that sucks is Gary's taste in snacks, apparently.
Whatever.
And then my wife writes in under the username, your fucking wife, Greg, and says, we totally popped Xmas crackers at dinner in Vermont with my family. You even wore the dumb paper hat, and includes a photo.
Wow, and you totally blank. You didn't remember.
I don't remember it being called the cracker, and like it's a British thing, and I don't
but
know.
You remember the activity of pulling the cracker and it going pop that. And putting the hat on your head?
I do remember that now, yeah, a little bit.
And this was with Jen's family.
Yeah, Vermont. Rough one. That's a rough one. We're sponsored by 23andMe and Brooklyn and Robinhood, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Looks like got caught up in showcase stuff. We got 6 items on the Roper Report today.
Hey, yo, that's a bacon inserted.
Thank you very much, Cool Greg. Number one, Starbreeze has been raided by authorities. This is from James Batchelor of GamesIndustry.biz. Swedish authorities have mounted a surprise raid on Starbreeze's headquarters, leading to at least one arrest. Multiple local news outlets, including Expressen, report that the nation's Economic Crime Authority, ECO, or EBM, have raided the game's firm's head office in Stockholm this morning. Chief Prosecutor Thomas Langrot confirmed to Expressen that, quote, a person has been arrested, while Dagens Industry claims the incident is related to to gross insider crimes, which suggests insider trading. Authorities are also said to have seized computers and documents from the premises. But despite the publisher's well-publicized financial troubles, the incident appears to be centered around the arrested individual. Update. ECO press officer issued the following statement to GamesIndustry.biz, confirming the following. Quote, this morning, officials from the Swedish Economic Crime Authority raided the offices of Starbreeze in Stockholm. One person was arrested and items were seized. The raid is part of an ongoing investigation involving suspected insider trading, end quote. GamesIndustry.biz has also received the full statement from Starbreeze. Quote, on Wednesday, Swedish Economic Crime Authority has conducted a search query at Starbreeze AB. The company has been informed that this has occurred due to suspicions of insider charges. The company, as such, is not subject to any suspicion. The company cooperates full with the Swedish Economic Crime Authority. The event does not affect the company or the ongoing business reconstruction. Starbreeze has no further information on the matter, end quote. Of course, for context, if you haven't been up on Kind of Funny Games Daily this whole week, earlier this week it was reported that Starbreeze faces insolvency and that its CEO is stepping down following poor commercial performance of Overkill's The Walking Dead.
Oh, that game's not been doing so great?
Not so hot, Gary. And now...
Even after you helped promote it.
Exactly. Even this, after me coming out there.
Does this reflect poorly on you?
No, of course not. You kidding me? I look great. I look great. I was a great host.
I would suggest
there.
That what it did sell, you were probably responsible for whatever it did sell.
My main concern is...
It might sold nothing.
My main concern is I want that game still to get to console, because that seems like a lot of fun, but I'm not going to play on PC.
Come no, of course you're not. You're not going to touch anything.
I got things to do. I don't want to be walking over there.
So that's interesting. A surprise. Is there a non-surprise raid? Is there a version of a raid where they call up and say, thinking about raiding you on Thursday?
A telegraphed raid?
About 3 o'clock. Does that work for you? Guys, can you make it 4?
Do you guys want to order in lunch? If you could have some lunch there, it'd be great. Just another man, black eye in terms of PR. You announce that you got to do this restructuring. You're worried about insolvency. That you're in the news for already not great stuff, and then 2 days later the authorities
it's almost comical, isn't it? You can imagine this scene. They're sitting around looking at their sales numbers, go, well, our big franchise played it and sell. Mm-hmm. Our CEO is gonna have to step down. What next? And then right on cue, crash. Swedish SWAT team comes through the door with MP5s and a battering ram, wanting to and seizing all your computers and shit.
It's going to be interesting to see how this nets out. Again, like they're saying in the article in a lot of words, Starbreeze doesn't seem to be the focus at all. They're fine. It's this one person who's in trouble. For insider stuff.
So you think there was like one person that was doing some dodgy dealings, just
said something to someone like, we're gonna file for insolvency,
sell, you better sell all
you imagine that's what it was, but yeah. We'll see. Who knows?
All right.
Keep your eye on the situation.
The plot thickens.
I need you to keep your eye on Sweden for me. Number two on the Roper Report, Fortnite Creative Mode is coming. This is from Tomorrow over at GameSpot. Epic Games has announced Fortnite Creative, a new mode that will give players the opportunity to design games and build unique Fortnite experiences with friends. Fortnite Creative will be available to play on December 13th, but those that pick up the Season 7 Battle Pass can check it out from December 6th. Quote, it's a brand new way to experience the world of Fortnite, Epic says on its website. Design games, race around the island, battle your friends in new ways, and build your dream Fortnite. It's all happening on your own private island where everything you make is saved. Epic has said it plans to add new features and make improvements to Fortnite Creative in coming updates. Quote, like Battle Royale and Save the World, we're committed to making this bigger and better over time, it explained. As noted in the video above on GameSpot's page, Epic is expecting initial rollout of Fortnite Creative to be rough and is encouraging those interested to get in early via Battle Pass. Fortnite Season 7 is set to launch on December 6th, and alongside it, the new Battle Pass will be available. In addition to early access to Fortnite Creative, the Battle Pass entitles owners to special set of challenges every week as long as the season lasts. In turn, this means they can accrue battle stars faster and unlock cosmetics quicker. That's cool.
Well, you know, Greg, I know nothing about Fortnite.
100%.
Other than all the young people are into it.
The kids love it.
I drop my kid off at school. She's 6.
Yeah.
And I see, it's all they talk about. Fortnite.
Does your kid play?
No, she's not been exposed to it yet. But like a lot, you can be that young. You can be 5, 6 years old and be like hardcore into Fortnite. Like,
oh, sure.
It plays
across all
age ranges.
It's the same thing with Minecraft, where Minecraft was just digital Legos, right? Yeah. This is a simple game to jump in and understand.
I think what's genius about this is clearly Fortnite has reached the point where it's completely dominant, right? It's dominating the world. Fortnite is the game.
Yeah.
I think I saw a thing today that said it's the most talked about game on Twitter for 2018, which is not
totally
surprising.
Totally.
If I asked you, what do you think it was? You would have said Fortnite, right?
Of course. Or Fallout 76.
And clearly Epic's office right now is just a giant money printing machine.
Yeah, exactly.
They're probably making more money than US Mint at this point. And so someone at Epic said, well, look, guys, this is great. You know, we're all Scrooge McDucking around in our vast vault of money.
Sure.
But that's not enough. Greed begets greed.
Okay.
No. I'm not saying it's about greed.
Okay. It sounds like you are. Like, you said greed begets greed.
I'm backstroking through all this money.
Okay.
But I want more.
Sure.
It's never enough. What more can we do? And some fucking genius says, well, let's turn it into Minecraft as well.
Right.
And
make your own games, make your own things.
Next thing you know, they're gonna have to buy their own country or something.
It's a great
idea.
I feel
like this is probably going to be... This will probably take it to an even more sensational level.
Oh, 100%.
Fever pitch.
And I mean, it's a great way as you see games wrestling with the idea of how to keep people around. Everybody wants you to keep turning on that game. I saw you tweeting last night about trying to download the Assassin's Creed DLC,
yeah,
right? Everybody wants you to exist in their world. And Fortnite is so good at it with the season content, right? In terms of there's challenges every day, week, every 24 hours, there's new costumes. But on top of that, giving someone else another way to be engaged.
Well, especially when you're playing to a young audience, and Fortnite obviously does skew very young.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know the numbers. I imagine that they have... you know, a huge adult play base as well. But it's amazing how young it skews. Like I said, 5-6 year old kids who are really into it and proficient at the game, really good at it.
We were watching the Kurt Russell Christmas movie on Netflix, new one. It's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
I didn't like it.
Oh, really? Mm. Well, see, I watched the one before about two princesses or whatever. That
The Princess Switch.
That was garbage.
That's from their Hallmark.
Well, that's what this is, right? It's all Netflix Christmas movies.
I liked the idea of Kurt Russell as Santa Claus.
Yeah.
And I thought
he did good at it. You didn't like the kids?
I just felt like the movie overall just didn't hang together.
Gotcha. For Christmas movies,
the bar was low, but the bar for Kurt Russell as Santa Claus was high.
Okay. I think he nails it. When he's walking around talking to kids, I digress.
He's the best thing in the movie.
One of the elves in the movie does the floss, and Jen's like, it's the floss. I'm like, yeah, if you're doing anything slightly directed at a kid these days, you got to put a Fortnite reference in there.
Yeah, so he obviously nailed that. So far as Fortnite's concerned, I do think this is very, very smart, especially when you've got a young audience. Kids are always like, yeah, this is great, but like, what else you got? What's next?
Yeah, of course.
You know, if you don't want me drifting off to some other new game, I mean, Fortnite has got its claws into kids deep, really, really deep. But they're smart enough to know we've got to keep adding new stuff. I think it's as simple as they looked at Minecraft. It's already a game that is predicated on, you know, building and construction. They looked at Minecraft, which is probably the only thing in the world that's bigger than Fortnite, because Minecraft is still massive, massive, massive. And they said, well, look, why don't we go in the Minecraft direction?
Yeah.
Genius.
Give them more. Give them more to do in there.
So I think my guess is that this will take Fortnite to even giddier heights of success.
I definitely think it'll keep people around longer, which is what they're looking for as they continue to pay it forward. You talk about greed and greed. They just announced their own game store where they're giving people a way better cut if you sell your games over there, all right? You lay off them. They're nice people at Epic.
I love the guys at Epic.
And they're not. Well, they're paying it forward.
There's a story coming up that I'm not, an Epic story coming up that I'm not thrilled about. We'll get to it.
Number three on the Roper Report, Red Dead Online apparently isn't going to wipe your progress. Over on the Rockstar Twitter, they put up this statement. We appreciate all the continued feedback we are receiving on the Red Dead Online beta. For players concerned about the potential for progress and stats resets, we currently do not have any plans to reset them as part of the beta's rollout. We are currently still working on game stability and economy balancing for an update that we hope to release later this week. Please stay tuned for more news to come. So there you go. Huzzah.
Have you tried any Red Dead Online?
I tried the first night, and just like GTA Online, I had a bunch of problems, disconnects, and I just haven't gotten back to it. Not that I don't want to. I want to. I just haven't.
I think, especially with online rollouts, it's a good idea to wait for it to stabilize before you jump in.
And that's the thing. You guys go ahead and work
Nobody
it
wants
out.
To be the... I mean, some people obviously are always keen to be the guinea pig. I don't want to be the guinea pig.
No, not at all.
I don't want to be the canary in the coal mine.
Sure. That one works too. Yeah.
You get that reference? Yeah, these are all good. I have solid references, Greg.
You're killing it today. I'm sorry. Number four, Mike Laidlaw, you might know him from BioWare. He was one of the faces for Dragon Age, has joined Ubisoft Quebec. Over on his LinkedIn, he wrote this. So here's a cool new thing. I've joined Ubisoft's Quebec City studio as the creative director for a not yet announced project. As you might know, I've been working as a consultant for the past year. It's been an amazing experience as it allowed me to work with teams of different sizes and compositions around the world. Nice. He went on to say a bunch of different stuff, but Ubisoft Quebec City coming off, of course, Assassin's Creed Odyssey, an amazing game. I'm excited to see Mike Laidlaw, a very nice man, a very talented man, go over there and make something cool.
When I first read that as Mark Laidlaw, I thought it was the Valve guy for a second.
I don't know Mark Laidlaw.
Mark Laidlaw was the guy that wrote the story and the narrative for the Half-Life games.
Oh, okay.
He was closely associated with Valve for many years.
What's he doing now? Just gone?
I think just his own thing.
Sure.
But I get the two. I got the Mark and the Mike Laidlaw mixed up.
I understand.
Mark Laidlaw was in the news a while ago. You may remember because you know how Half-Life 3 never came out and is probably never coming out.
Exactly. Yeah.
He posted what was going to be the story for Half-Life 3 and like the ultimate evolution of like the Gordon Freeman narrative arc. He put it up on like a Pastebin or something.
Oh, neat.
And got some hits.
I bet he did.
But that's Mark Laidlaw.
Not this guy.
No,
Mike Laidlaw wasn't doing that. Number five. Is there a new Far Cry coming? There most certainly is. They put out a trailer about it, and Joe Scrabbles has the information. But this is like... Joe Scrabbles, I'm sorry, a made-up name from IGN, had this to say. Ubisoft has teased what seems to be a new Far Cry game, possibly set after the events of Far Cry 5. A teaser video on IGN shows a nuclear blast going off behind what looks very much like a landscape from Far Cry 5's Hope County setting, before a buzzsaw blade is seemingly repurposed as a weapon. It goes on to say, tune into the Game Awards. So this is one of the Game Awards announcements.
Pre-reveal.
Exactly. So it seems like you're going to get it there. My thing is, everybody, and I know nothing about it, everybody seems to be jumping to, it's a new Far Cry game, which I guess it is, but if it's using Hope County again, is it Far Cry 5 DLC? Or is it just, is it, it could be standalone, like kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, the 80s, remember they put out that 80s thing?
Blood Dragon.
When they put out Far Cry, that was a standalone thing you could get without the game. Maybe that's what this is too, but we'll see.
Do you think it's Far Cry 6 though?
No. No way.
But there's going to be a Far Cry 6.
Of course there's
going
to be a
Far Cry 6. Because the Far Cry...
These games aren't going anywhere.
Like the number 3 top-selling game of the year?
It was killing it this year. I forget where it ended up right now. Yeah. But yeah, no, Far Cry is incredibly successful.
It's not shocking to learn there's more Far Cry coming, because once a game achieves a certain level of commercial success,
yeah,
it's locked in that they're going to make more.
Like, sure, but it's just like, is this DLC, as Kebabs points out, Far Cry 4 Blood Dragon, is it that, or is it a full-blown number? Is it a numbered game? Is it not? Is it like Far Cry Primal? Is it a sidestep?
Do you think there's going to be anything at the Game Awards in terms of like, oh my God, I did not see that coming, and that's huge? Do you think there's going to be like a mega mic drop?
Yeah, it's the Game Awards.
And they generally have those.
I mean, like, have you been following? Something is happening with Fortnite and the Russo brothers and Donald Mustard.
Oh, right.
And even if it's just like, hey, for the next 24 hours, the costumes on sale are Captain America and Spider-Man. I'm like, in. Yeah, you get all my money. Yeah. Take it. But I don't know what it'll be.
You think there could be some kind of joint? I know some people have talked about an Infinity War 2 part two trailer.
Well, that's the thing. That's
Fortnite.
A sliding scale. Remember, the rumor was originally there was going to be the new Avengers trailer today. Then the rumor was it got kicked to Friday. Then there's a rumor there's a Spider-Man Far From Home trailer coming out on Saturday. It's not at the game showcase. Who knows what's happening anymore? Anything can happen. And I do believe, you know, Jeff Keighley, you know, obviously every year talks about the show's bigger and better. But I do think this year he's been doing a great job of like, hey, world's going to change. It is a big deal. We have 10 announcements. Like, I'm super stoked to see what they have. The question you say stands... Is it all going to be unexpected stuff? Is it, okay, now it's a Far Cry, post-apocalyptic Far Cry. Great. It's Metroid Prime Trilogy on Switch.
I can see a polite smattering of applause, but no one's going to go, oh my God, another Far Cry. Because again, we already know that's going to happen.
But if it looks awesome, right? Like, that's right. The thing. I mean, think about it this way of, if it's Far Cry, if somebody put it up on Reset Era, I believe today, of like, is Far Cry about to out Fallout in a year where Fallout came out? Like, you know what I mean? Like, people did want Fallout 76 to be amazing and do this, and they do want a Fallout kind of game. If Fallout 76 missed the mark in this Far Cry...
This moves right on in.
Yeah, does that come in? And, like, when is it coming on? All these different things. Who knows? Worlds are going to change is all I know. All right?
Interesting.
Jeff wouldn't lie
Fallout
to me.
Cry.
Number 6, this is the one you don't like. Epic.
I'm not thrilled about this
is
news.
No longer developing Unreal Tournament. This is from Matthew Handrahan over at GamesIndustry.biz. Epic has stopped active development of Unreal Tournament, the new version of the classic shooter announced in 2014. According to Epic's Tim Sweeney, it may not be the final example of Epic dipping back into its back catalog, but this version of Unreal Tournament will be playable only in its current state. Quote, Unreal Tournament remains available in the store, but isn't actively developed. Sweeney said in an interview with Variety. We've recently worked with GOG, that's Good Old Games, not the Game Over Regular Show, on making classic Epic Games titles available. And we're planning to bring more of them to the store in their original glory. As this is obviously as Epic continues to move resources to Fortnite, which is just
well,
so far
that's
away
the thing. So it sands me because this is one of my Unreal Tournament 2004 was... Some of my happiest gaming memories are associated with the Unreal Tournament games.
Have you played this newer one, the 2014
A little bit.
Version?
Not. Yeah. I was waiting for like the fully burnished version of it to come to the fore, and it looks like that's now not going to. I mean, since 2014, they've been playing around with this thing.
Yeah.
Do you think it is as you just said that Fortnite has become so successful and so all encompassing that Epic is now just throwing all their resources at that and other things have to
in
make
this
way?
GamesIndustry.biz article, I think the next graph actually goes into that of saying like this isn't shocking because a couple months ago Sweeney said something to the effect of they were moving people from that team to help on Fortnite because they keep expanding Fortnite and making it so many different things.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean it must have caught I think it's caught them, you know, if you remember the story of Fortnite was when Fortnite first came out, prior to the Battle Royale version,
Save the World.
It just kind of came out and was like, it was going to be another one of those games that just kind of came and went. And then they came up with the Battle Royale idea.
Yeah, they invented that idea.
What's that?
Yeah, they invented that idea.
Yeah, well, good for them being the first ones.
You know,
to come
nobody
up with
else
Battle
had
Royale.
Ever thought about dropping 100 people on an island.
So they came up with the idea of stealing the Battle Royale idea.
Yeah.
And I don't think they expected it. I don't think anyone, there's nobody, no one within Epic could honestly say to you, oh yes, we knew that this was going to happen. Nobody could have predicted this level of success. And so, of course, when that happens, and this happened at Telltale as well, Walking Dead was so explosively successful that it forced all this explosive growth onto the company, and that ultimately, arguably, may have been part of their undoing. It was that they just couldn't. It's the Elvis thing. You become so famous so quickly that you just can't keep it real. Suddenly everything is like blown out of proportion. So far, Epic, to their credit, seems to have done a very good job of managing that.
And that's the thing.
There must be casualties along the way.
Everything ebbs and flows, right? I would say, yeah, Epic is doing such a great job right now, right? And both with the original announcement that if you sold things on the Epic Store that you created or whatever through in-game stuff, they would take less of a cut because Fortnite's been so successful. Yesterday with the announcement of, hey, all right, we're launching the Epic Games Store where we're going to sell games, and all that Steam bullshit you saw where they're giving the giant companies a huge break. We're not doing that. We're giving a break to everybody. Like, we're giving everyone a better rev share deal when we launch this thing. Like, they continue to make the right decisions and, again, continue to invest in Fortnite in a way that I think makes sense but isn't all your eggs in one basket kind of thing.
Can you imagine a point in the future, near future, medium future, or distant, whatever, where the Fortnite bubble bursts?
I think it's going to wane. I think nothing can stay this popular forever, but it's like what you said earlier, right? Everyone forgets how successful Minecraft still is.
Oh, yeah.
Minecraft is still a huge deal. It's just the fact that it became...
It's not in vogue so much anymore. Other things have... Like, Fortnite came in and took the spotlight.
Anything that goes nuclear, right, and becomes this giant deal, and then it just kind of becomes part of the fabric. Where, yeah, kids are still going home and playing Minecraft like nobody's business. It's just not... It doesn't have a hot dance that's being a part of this. And the Battle Bus, just got dropped at Walmart, literally, with all the toys and collectible. Like, there's all these different things that are happening right now that make it seem like Fortnite's
I was just at Target yesterday with my wife doing some Christmas shopping.
What'd you get me?
What did we get?
What'd you get me?
Oh, what did I get you? Mm-hmm.
Well, are we exchanging gifts this year?
There's Jaffa Cakes right here. It's literally a gift that I got you on the table. And you asked me what I got you. No, we should do it. We'll do a little gift exchange. We got some board games for family board game fun. Got some stuff for the kitty. Mm-hmm. My kid really wants the Scribblenauts game for the Switch. So we may be asking Santa for that. Scribblenauts Showdown, I think it's called.
Okay.
Not
the DC one? They got that Scribblenauts, DC one. It's old, but they ported it over.
Oh, okay. Well, we're going to get whatever the...
Also, am I Santa? I can get you codes for this,
Get me a code.
Okay.
I would love that. That would be great. But my point being, there was a whole aisle, a whole end cap, and a whole aisle of Fortnite
of course.
Toys. Yeah. Not just the unofficial, because you see this, like, how to win at Fortnite, Fortnite Player's Guide, all these kind of unofficial cash-in products.
But this is like the actual partnerships.
This is like with an Epic Games logo on it, various different Fortnite action figures. And what does it say that about its place in popular culture now, like how high it has risen, that we're talking about Fortnite and the next Avengers movie in the same breath as like they might be doing something joint.
And everybody says I'm crazy. We'll see who's crazy. It could happen.
We'll see.
It could happen.
We'll see.
Worth pointing out, in kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, Dentora pops up to say the new Far Cry would be more like Far Cry Primal, as that reused the geometry of the Far Cry 4 map. Interesting.
Far Cry Primal was a full $60 AAA release.
Yeah.
But it wasn't considered part of Far Cry. It was like a side game, right? It was like to the side. It wasn't Far Cry.
It wasn't numbered, because it piggybacked, I think, off of Forest Map. I forgot.
So maybe this is that.
Maybe it is. We'll see. Because it does look like Hope County in the trailer.
But if it's coming out of Hope County, I don't know. I think it might be Far Cry 6. They might be going all the way in.
We'll see. Here's the other reason for it not being Far Cry 6, other than the fact I think it's too quick a turnaround for a numbered Far Cry, is the fact the trailer they showed didn't have a 6 on it. It didn't say a subtitle either, but it did just say Far Cry.
Okay.
We'll see.
But it's got to hold something back.
You can't give it all. Can't give all the blackberries right now. I got to save something for Jeff.
You got to save something for the actual event.
I guess. Gary, I can't wait to see what happens at the Game Awards tomorrow night, but tomorrow is still so far away.
It is so far away.
If I wanted to know more relevant news, like say what came to the mom and grop shops today, where would I go?
That would be the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Out today! Edge of Eternity is going into early access on Steam. Two Point Hospital is releasing its first DLC, Bigfoot. Altair Meruru, the Apprentice of Arlen DX, is on PlayStation 4. Energy Cycle Edge is on PS4, PS Vita, Xbox One, and Switch. Cool, Greg. I'm going to need a Google search on Energy Cycle Edge. Because, of course, Energy Cycle, a very easy platinum. You could follow a thing and have it in 15 minutes. Is this the same game under a new name with this? Oh, dear. Oh, dear. It does look like it is. Yeah, sure. That's fine.
Energy Cycle Edge, is that what we're looking at?
This is another Energy Cycle, which Energy Cycle originally, a very easy platinum. We got to look into this, everybody. We're going to have to crack some codes here.
Is it a puzzle game or something?
It is a puzzle game, yeah. Picture Party VR is on PlayStation VR.
Ooh, I wonder what that is. What's Picture Party?
No. Cool, Greg. Can I get a Picture Party VR for PlayStation VR YouTube search here? We'll see what we got here. And then GT Sport 1.31 update is out today as well. Here we go.
Okay. Oh, it looks like a party game.
It does.
It's like, look.
Your friends guess. You... Oh, this looks terrible. Oh, no, you draw. Oh, now I'm kind of getting
into
it. You draw? You
draw. Oh, okay.
Okay, you're in VR. Oh, Cool Greg's excited. He wants a tag. Okay. It's like win, lose, or draw, but with PlayStation VR and a controller. Interesting. All right. We'll look into that.
Why not?
New dates for you. Tropico is coming to iPad December 18th. Super Treasure Arena for Nintendo Switch is coming out Christmas Eve, December 24th, 2018. Planet Coaster Magnificent Rides Collection arrives on December 18th. And then Nintendo Online is adding three new games in December on December 12th. Wario's Woods, Ninja Gaiden, and Adventures of Lolo. Adventures of Lolo, Gary.
Ninja Gaiden's a good one if you like difficult games.
Sure.
Well known as one of the most brutally difficult games on the NES.
That's why people like The Messenger so much. Like, oh, this is like an approachable Ninja Gaiden with Metroidvania. And then the story gets crazy. Whatever.
Oh,
did you ever play The Messenger?
No. I heard it's good, though.
Yeah, you should play it. You want Santa Greg to get your code there, too?
Yes, please. Get me all the codes. Oh. Can I just say, I want to go back to this one. Atelier Maruru, The Apprentice of Ireland DX.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is, but it's one of those titles where I'm just like, that is... Like, do they want to sell copies of this game? Like, are they interested in making money?
The Altair series, man. It's got... people love it. Allier, they got it. People care.
Is that a thing?
There's
I've
a
never
fan
heard
base.
Of it.
Oh, yeah, there's a fan base.
Okay.
You got to pay more attention to all the
I've
PlayStation releases. Oh, they're out there, man. They're getting mad right now at this
that
comment.
That is highly bespoke. All right.
Deals of the day. Xbox Live Gold members
can. Oh, I'm sorry. And Adventures of Lolo, I believe, is known as a very well liked NES game.
Isn't
is it?
Well, I don't know. Yeah. I'm Sega
it's kind of a puzzle game.
All right. Deals of the day. Xbox Live Gold members can play The Elder Scrolls Online and experience Tamriel like never before during our free play event. Get ready to experience an ever-expanding story in a persistent Elder Scrolls world. The Elder Scrolls Online free play event will begin Thursday, December 6th at 12:01 a.m. Pacific time and run through Wednesday, December 12th. During this period, you can join millions of other adventurers in exploring Tamriel free on Xbox One with no strings attached. And from now through December 10th, you can save 70% on 50 great games in the ID at Xbox Party Time Sale.
That sounds good. 70% yeah. off.
You can find out online from Major Nelson all about that.
I didn't know the Elder Scrolls, millions, really? Is Elder Scrolls Online?
Elder Scrolls got
big?
Huge, yeah. Came out and people were like, meh, and then they fixed a whole bunch. And that's why people were like, maybe that'll happen in Fallout 76.
I've been on the lookout for an MMO.
Okay.
I don't know, because I don't want to go back to Warcraft.
Yeah, no,
it's
no,
too
no.
much.
What about DC Universe Online, you know?
Is that still going?
Oh, are you kidding me? It's still going. It's better than ever.
On PS4?
And PC, if you want to be that guy. If you want to go
I
to
am,
that,
I am
to go
unfortunately
that guy.
That
you
guy.
Know what I mean? Time for reader mail. But first, I'm going to tell you it's brought to you by 23andMe. Now through December 25th, the 23andMe DNA kits are on sale. 23andMe helps you understand what your DNA can tell you about you and your family story. It's named for the 23 pairs of chromosomes that make up your DNA. 23andMe health and ancestry services include 90-plus personalized genetic reports that offer DNA insights on what makes you unique. It's easy to do. You simply spit into a tube provided for you in your 23andMe kit, register your sample to your personal 23andMe account, and in a few weeks, receive your personalized online reports. I did it! As we've said multiple times, I'm very white. I'm very much like Gary, 52.5% British and Irish. He gets mad that they do that. Don't smack your lips into the mic. They're going to get mad at you. They're going to get so mad at you now.
It's bad broadcasting etiquette.
It is, yeah. But these Jaffa cakes, so good. That's probably why I like them too, because of the 23andMe now, I know I'm very British.
That's,
so clearly
that's
I'm drawn
like
to the British
so much,
food.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? With 23andMe's ancestry composition report, you can explore where your DNA is from out of 150 regions worldwide. Now through December 25th, get 30% off any 23andMe kit. Order your DNA kit at 23andMe.com/games. That's the number 23andMe.com/games. Again, that's 23andMe.com/games. Next, it's Brooklinen. You spend a third of your life in your sheets. This holiday season is a great time for a bedding upgrade for you or a loved one. Everybody knows I love it. Everybody knows I take pictures of Portillo in it. Everybody knows that I like the Brooklinen sheets so much, Gary, that when we wash them, we don't even put on the spare set. We just wait for them to be done and then put the Brooklinen sheets right back on. You know what I mean?
So do you go without sheets?
Or no,
do you
no, no,
make
no.
sure you get the laundry
You just time it right. You just time it right. Exactly. Okay. It's all got to be in a day thing. Brooklinen sheets are named the winner of the best of online bedding category by Good Housekeeping and have more than 30,000 five-star reviews. They work directly with manufacturers and their customers, so there's no middleman, meaning they can give you five-star hotel quality sheets at an affordable and easy to order, affordable price, easy to order system. Like I've said before, you go there, you click on it, it's great. However, again, the holidays are here. You're going to forget about people. This is an easy way not to. You can also get towels, robes, candles, sleep masks, and more to make sure you don't forget people on your list.
My goodness.
I'm going to have to do it for you, Gary, because you got me the Jaffa Cakes now. My Brooklinen sheets are the best, most comfortable sheets I've ever slept on. Now is your time to upgrade. Brooklinen.com is giving an exclusive offer to my listeners. Get $20 off and free shipping when you use promo code GAMES at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident in their product that all their sheets, comforters, and towels come with a lifetime warranty. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use promo code GAMES at Brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com. Promo code GAMES. And finally, it's Robinhood. Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos, all commission-free. They strive to make financial services work for everyone, not just the wealthy. It's a non-intimidating way for stock market newcomers to invest for the first time with true confidence. Other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade, but Robinhood doesn't charge commission fees. Trade stocks and keep all of your profits. It's got easy-to-understand charts, market data, all that jazz, so you can do it. Plus, it works on a smartphone. Gary Witta? What is that right there?
That's the Robinhood app.
I've downloaded the Robinhood app, everybody. I'm doing it. I'm going to start investing. Kevin has sold me on it.
Who are you
going to
invest in?
I don't. That's
give me a hot stock tip.
Well, yeah, I don't. Then it's insider trading, right? If I say something,
you guys
I don't know.
Go, what if you guys go public?
Then I don't. Surely, I definitely don't
surely,
think we're able to
surely a kind of funny IPO. Is on the
in the
horizon.
Future, oh, we'll see yeah. how the showcase goes.
Yeah, yeah.
You can learn how to invest and build your portfolio, discover new stocks, and track your favorite companies with personalized news feeds. I've already gone in and started setting up the notifications on what I want and things. Robinhood is giving listeners a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help build your portfolio. Sign up like I did. Games.Robinhood.com. That's Games.Robinhood.com. Gary.
Yo.
Where do I want to start with you? You know what I mean?
What do you got? What are you doing? Reader mail?
Yeah, we're in reader mail now. I'm looking around where we want to go with you, you know? Because I don't want to just throw you out there. Let's go from... This is Evan from Virginia. Evan okay. from Virginia wrote a novel. I've boiled it down to this one paragraph. With news of Discord and now Epic starting their own storefronts to rival Steam, I'm worried the ecosystem is becoming increasingly fractured and less consumer-friendly. As a self-proclaimed PC hater, parentheses, I know you're joking. Do you know anyone in the industry who can speak about this news specifically with regards to how it affects the consumer? Since most of the Kinda Funny crew are console plebs, I'd love to hear someone's opinion on the matter with their feet on the ground in the PC gaming scene. To me, anytime a new storefront is added, I immediately start thinking, quote, how is this going to inconvenience me? And would love to hear thoughts of the others. Gary, you play PC games, right?
Yes.
Are you worried about too many storefronts?
No.
Why?
Because how is more choice bad?
You got to remember your Origin ID login. You got to launch it through that thing. Now I got a Steam over there. I got Steam chat popping up. Now I'm in Discord talking to these people and they want to play.
That does annoy me a little bit. It can be inconvenient. But I think that if... Here's where it becomes annoying is like to get this game, I have to go to Steam. To get that game, I have to go to Origin. To get this other game, I got to go to Battle.net and so on and so on and so on. I can see that being annoying. But if every game, if it's more like, I noticed you eat the Jaffa Cake upside down. That's an interesting way to go.
Oh, it's supposed to be chocolate up.
It can be any way you want. But if you'll notice here on the box, mm-hmm. Wait, where's the picture?
I think it's on this one. The box is on this one.
Clearly, the chocolate is on top.
Well, I was going to try to stop it too, but now I have to.
Give me one. I'm going to try the upside down.
Well, no, you can't.
I'm going to try the upside
down
method.
Don't talk while you eat the thing, man.
Well, let me just eat it.
All right. See, you're going upside down, which apparently is the upside down way.
It's actually a good way to go.
Yeah, okay, good. Because I mean, that's
how a different texture.
I've just done it that whole way. I never knew I was wrong. I never knew I was weird. See, this is very much like...
You've opened my eyes, Greg.
You remember in WW2, they used to have to try to teach American soldiers not to switch their fork and knife when they cut, because that's a strictly American thing.
You yeah, know what I'm I never about? Understood that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have your fork in your left hand and knife in your right hand.
No, we want to always be eating with your right hand. You know, it's weird. Yeah,
yeah, that's very. I've never understood that. Very strange.
I digress. I hear where Evan's coming from, But are we there yet? Like, Discord is doing, yeah, the exclusive game here, or the Discord first stuff right now.
Yeah.
But that just started, right? Has this been a problem before? Like, what you're talking about of jumping to different things? Like, I guess Blizzard is only putting some of their stuff up some places, right?
It becomes more complicated when you compare it to the console scene. On the console side, obviously, it's very easy. There's one store for each platform, sure. And that's it.
And you know what their exclusives
store,
are,
PSN yeah. stores, eShop. And that's it. That's all the games are under because it's a walled garden. It's a confined space. Steam obviously rules the roost.
Yeah.
But I actually didn't know that Discord getting into the game is interesting. It is slightly irritating that, you know, you've got to manage these different apps. But that's all it is. It's a minor irritation. I don't see it as being like consumer unfriendly. And companies, excuse me, you know, it's not typical of me to be here like towing the company line and saying, oh, well, you've got to see it from the company's point of view. But from the company's point of view, they reserve the right if they want to release a game on their own store and not be subjected. Let's say that Steam begins to introduce onerous business terms from their point of view, where Steam is almost monopoly.
Sure.
Now,
and that's what I was saying when I don't know if you caught all this whole thing with the new breakdown in revenue they're doing and the way they're giving, if you sell like 50 million units, you a giant break. I was saying that same thing of like, I understand it from a business point of view, but when you are kind of the only game in town, that sucks.
And I wonder if they are becoming more a little more generous like that with their terms in order to prevent more of these breakaways. Because, you know, they've already got a little bit of an issue with EA and Activision, two of the biggest publishers out there, are not on Steam.
Yeah.
Right? They have their own stores. And maybe it's only a matter of time before Ubisoft follows suit and some of the other
players. And Yves Guillemot talked a little bit about that in terms of like, yeah, everything going, you know, more internal and taking care of it. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Okay. I think it's trouble ahead. Right now, everything's fine, Evan. Don't worry. But you're going to eventually have to deal with it because that's how it goes. But what do I know? I'm a console plebe. I turn it on and it works most of the time.
You're in easy mode.
Exactly. Speaking of easy mode, Hayden Lully writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, I am currently playing Battlefield 5 and am loving the multiplayer and its changes from the previous games. However, I feel like I have paid full price for a beta. When I pay full price for a game, I expect a full game and not an unpolished beta. I do think this will be the best Battlefield yet, but like Fallout, it should never have been released in this state. Do you think developers will ever learn? And do you think re-reviewing games after repairs and patches is letting them off easy?
Did Battlefield 5 ship in a shoddy state? I've not been following it.
Well, mainly, we were talking about this the other day, me and Andrea. No one's talking about it. No one is talking about it.
Well, we talked about how Battlefield 5, yeah, I mean, so Call of Blops was a big deal this year, right? Yeah. Call of Duty 4, probably the biggest game of the year, right? Yeah. Bigger even than Red Dead, which I didn't see coming. I knew Blops. It's funny, for years now I've been saying, sooner or later, Call of Duty fatigue is going to...
And it has. The numbers have gone down. They're not performing as well as other Call of Duty.
And I was very worried about this, you know, getting rid of the single player campaign. I've got to say, looking back on it, I think I was wrong about that.
Yeah.
I like my single player story campaigns, but it's clearly not where the Call of Duty player base is headed. It's not what they're really looking for. You burn through the single player campaign in 6 hours. They're very expensive to make, and then you probably never go back and play it again. Where the real long-term life of the game is in the multiplayer.
Yeah.
And so I think their new strategy of saying, well, look, we're going to forego single player, and instead we're going to offer this kind of trident, this three-spoked attack of different, you know, classic multiplayer,
yeah,
zombies and all the other crazy modes, and Battle Royale. I think doubling down on the multiplayer aspect and moving on from single player, as much as I love my single player story experiences, I think it clearly worked.
Yeah. And I think in terms of Battlefield 5, like, remember a big part about it being launched and then, oh man, it's incomplete, is the fact their battle royale is not ready. Their battle royale is delayed after launch.
That's shocking.
And so that is a place where, like, especially like what you're talking about, where that's what grabbed the headlines for Blops.
Every single day that goes by that Black Ops and obviously Battlegrounds is coming to PS4 now, yeah, and Fortnite and all these other games are out there hoovering up players. Every single day that goes by, that's a missed opportunity to get your foot in the door and get people playing your game.
Yeah.
So I think EA, it seems to me that they dropped the ball quite badly with Battlefield 5. I don't know a lot of the details, but I don't feel like I need to. Here's what I know is what you just told me. Mm-hmm. They shipped the game without Battle Royale. This year, this holiday season, Activision, PUBG Corp are out there with Battle Royale offerings. The hottest thing in gaming right now is Battle Royale. Activision's out there with Battle Royale. Fortnite's obviously out there. PUBG's out there on a new platform, PlayStation 4, which is, you know, the hottest platform.
Red Dead kind of has one.
Battlefield, which is supposed to be one of the prime movers in the first-person shooter space, and which heavily touted its Ring of Fire, you know, so-called Battleground mode.
Yeah.
Didn't have it and won't have it in time for Christmas. Somebody should get sacked.
Whoa!
Gary's Somebody's getting sacked.
Hayden, to your question, when will they learn? They'll learn when you stop buying it. Like, you bought it. You paid for the $60 for it. And now you're like, oh, man, I paid for a beta. It's like, well, you got to wait for the reviews or see what's
That's
happening.
The thing. Do your homework and let some again, don't be the canary in the coal mine. I remember my good friend Logan Decker, who was one of my successors as editor-in-chief of PC Gamer, said, never, ever, ever, ever buy a game at launch. Just don't, because you are
coward.
Considered a... You might be considered a coward, but certainly by the companies, you're considered a test subject.
Sure. Sure, and I think more
because
now.
More, increasingly, now games are ever. Shipping at launch, especially games with a big online component, are shipping in these unfinished states, and it's not great. And the only way to, as you say, is to vote with your wallet.
Yeah, and so I think Battlefield's seen that this year. I would definitely think EA sees that in their financials right now, that people aren't buying and picking it up.
Oh, but. I tell you, I'd be if I were the head of EA, I would be flipping some tables right now.
Yeah.
I would have all the Battlefield team in a room,
yeah.
teleconferenced in, or I'd fly out there, whatever, and I'd say, explain this to me. Call of Duty 4 has just stay with me here. It would be like that scene in The Untouchables, where, you know, everyone's sitting around the table,
yeah.
and Robert De Niro's got the baseball bat,
yeah.
and he says, you know what, I love baseball. And they all go, oh, yes, teamwork. And then he fucking brains one of the guy with the yeah. baseball bat.
Yeah, you're going to kill somebody. You're going to murder somebody.
I get nowhere unless the team wins. Bam! And he just fucking brains that guy.
Yeah, sure.
Inside EA right now.
You wouldn't be there long as CEO.
So explain it to me like I'm stupid. Battle Royale is the hottest thing in games right now.
Yeah.
Activision has Battle Royale. PUBG has Battle Royale. Fortnite has Battle Royale. You better believe Ubisoft is going to have Battle Royale. You're telling me that Tom Clancy, Rainbow Six, is not going to have Battle Royale? Of course it is.
I hope Division 2 has a Battle Royale.
Division 2, you Ooh-wee. Name it, they're going to have it. This holiday period, though, you know, set Ubisoft to one side right now because they don't have it yet.
Yeah.
Right now, we're in a war. We're in a shooting war, a hot war with Activision. It's Battlefield versus Call of Duty. Those are the two hot shooter platforms. Battle Royale is the hottest thing in video games right now. They have it. We don't. Pick up the baseball bat. Jeez. Someone explain that to me.
Oh my God.
And well, the thing is, bam!
Oh my God,
fucking
Gary.
Dead!
No, Gary, you can't kill people in EA's headquarters.
You better believe Battle Royale will be coming out.
Jeez.
Quickly. They will hit their deadlines on the next one. Or otherwise, I'll be hitting some shit.
I don't mind the murdering so much, but what are your thoughts on Crunch? Ron writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hey, Gary and Greg. On the last episode of Waypoint's podcast, they were having a great discussion about the Kinda Funny Games Showcase and how it relates to the future of media. It made me think you guys are really ahead of the curve. Austin Walker mentioned he'd love to do something similar, and I imagine other sites are thinking the same thing. One thing did come up I want to ask you about, though, and it's how will Kinda Funny handle covering games featured in the showcase in terms of ethics? Ron. Ron, you know, since we launched January 5th, 2015, the ethics policy of Kinda Funny has been pretty simple, and that's that you'll know it, right? You guys know when we do a sponsorship, you know when we're doing something, when somebody's like, oh man, Messenger's game of the year, and I really love Messenger, and like Tim's review, and Andy's like trying to push it for, I'm always like, cool, remember my wife worked on brand management for the Messenger, like that's a thing that happened. We go out of our way to do that. Here, we're not IGN and we're not Waypoint, and like we do the reviews, right? But I don't know, you can tell me, actually, you guys let me know in the comments on YouTube or at kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Don't do it till you're wrong, like if you think we would need it, but like for like, you know, it's already leaked, right? Toe Jam and Earl's in the thing, like us talking about Toe Jam and Earl one day and being if we liked it, do we need to say that? Because again, to be clear, because this happens with other things, but with our showcase, this happens with other people's press conferences and stuff like that. I digress. Whatever. Nobody's paying us to do any of this.
Yeah,
there's no sponsor. There's no to be on our show. It is not pay to play. Nobody's given us money to say, oh, we want to be in it. Where can we be?
Having looked at the showcase and seen the way that you present the games, it didn't strike me as like you were endorsing any of these games.
Sure.
You're just saying, hey, here's some stuff that's coming out.
And I think the ones we do endorse, we say we endorse because I've played it at a PAX or this, that, or the other. Like,
right.
There's a reasoning behind right. that. And it's really just a continuation kind of what we do, what I do on the Gamescast of, oh, I went to PAX and I played all these games and they're cool and this is what I liked and what I didn't like. Like, I think that's what this is. This is just a way to use our platform for that. But it's an interesting discussion. But since we don't do numbered reviews, since there's no payment here, since it's not like anybody's pulling favors, I didn't really think about it, but I guess it'll be worth mentioning sometimes that they were on the showcase. But I'm not going to die for it. Nate Bushman writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and is the final question of today, which is my Friday, because this is my last show for the week. Hello, Greg and Rogue One, Gary Whitta. With the fever pitch hype Marvel is getting this week, with people anticipating reveals with the Avengers in terms of the movie and possibly the game, I gotta ask, is there a particular movie-based game you look back on fondly as it's sticking the landing? Do you have particular favorites? I still love EA's action game takes on Lord of the Rings back on the PS2. Keep up the great work. Have fun at the Game Awards and looking forward to the showcase on Saturday. Nate Bushman. You think, what about movie-licensed games you enjoyed?
You know, they've typically been pretty bad.
Yeah, that's the bad thing, right?
That's the thing. I grew up in the 8 and 16-bit era where it's not as prevalent as it is now. It's actually quite rare to have, like, the game of the film.
Yeah, no, yeah, they pulled away from that, right? Because it's such a hard target to hit, usually, because games get delayed so many times.
Yeah, and it's hard to adapt, you know, a film that has a narrative structure and characters and stuff and just turn that into a video game. They used to just turn them into these really uninspired platformers, like, you know, Lethal Weapon and The Untouchables, and which one have you got?
Ghostbusters.
There? Ghostbusters.
Sega Master System.
Classic
a great
example.
Game. A great game.
I actually liked Ghostbusters on the Commodore 64. I played it, and yeah. I know it's not
the best.
It's not
version.
Held up as a great example of a. But nothing was good back then.
This one is Ghostbusters Sega Master System. It's
really?
Held up as a great game. It's a great game. You got everything in there. You got all the movie plot points in there. It's happening.
I liked it on the Commodore 64.
You're an idiot. All right, we're
that's the version that I had. Since then, I don't know. I mean, I guess I would point to
the
X-Wing games and stuff. They're not necessarily game adaptations of a particular
that counts.
Film.
You're using
but
the
they're Star Wars yeah. games. The X-Wing games were among my
see,
favorites.
See, that's the one I jumped to, right? X-Men Origins Wolverine. Terrible storyline, really cool gameplay. Like, because it was, you remember this one? It was from Raven Software. It was the one where he took the actual damage and it would go down to his animatium skeleton and then grow back and stuff. But you were
was
doing,
it based on the movie?
Yeah, and that's why and the movie sucked, and so then the story sucked in this one too. But the gameplay was awesome.
Huh.
Collecting dog tags, killing
I don't even
people.
Know they made that game.
Oh, they did, and it was great. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to squad up. This is where one of you writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody plays games together. Today, Brandon715 needs help on Pokemon Go. His Pokemon Go code, or whatever this thing is 674521352641. Would appreciate some kind of funny best friends to send gifts to get those XP rewards to level up my account. If you're playing Pokemon Go like Andrew Goldfarb, hit up Brandon at that number I just read that's also in the YouTube description. Gary,
yo.
We ask the people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up.
How do we do?
So we set the record straight for everybody watching later. I'm looking pretty good. People are in the. We're catching up with the Far Cry stuff here, and we already got all that. Lewis says, the Scribblenauts game for Switch that your child want or should want is Mega Pack, not Showdown. The former is two games in one, and each of them have way more content on their own than the latter. Showdown wasn't developed by the same team and is a huge ripoff.
Oh, so we should get Scribblenauts Mega Pack.
Mega Pack, apparently. Yeah,
okay, and that's
yeah.
for the Switch?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll get that. Good tip, thank you.
A couple people write in, but Kabobs will get the nod. Cool Greg wants us to know that rapper Soulja Boy is selling his own branded consoles and handhelds.
I saw this morning on Waypoint.
Me too. Though apparently they're actually off-brand emulators that can be found on Amazon at lower prices. Yeah, I saw that too. That wasn't worthy of the Roper report. But yeah, Soulja Boy apparently is trying to launch some knockoff 801 gaming machines with his name attached to it.
That's pretty funny.
Amateur Hour? The Soulja... This show is Amateur Hour.
Man, it should be the thumbnail. It should have been all of it.
It should have been everything, is Soulja Boy.
I'm surprised we didn't cover it. Actually, you should get one because you know, the Waypoint guys are getting one in and they're going to
review
it.
Of course they are.
You should get one in and do a
party
mode.
I take my show seriously, unlike Waypoint, I'll have you know.
Get the Soulja Boy console. How would you not? It's comedy. Comedy gold waiting to happen.
No, I mean, we would just unbox it and never plug it in. You know what I mean?
Hey,
cool,
Greg,
if I get it, are you going to do a whole lot of game shit with it?
Cool, Greg. This is something you would know, and I don't. Is Soulja Boy legit?
Yeah.
Because I don't know what's considered. Okay. Okay. We like Soulja Boy. So are you excited about this game console that's Soulja Boy branded?
I'd be more excited if he announced it.
Like a new album or something.
Right. He's this close to the showcase and didn't announce it.
Yeah.
He can go to hell.
Yeah. That's a diss.
Yeah. Exactly.
Now you should release your own diss track to get back at him. Because I feel like he's dissed you by not doing
Soulja
it.
Soulja Boy ain't paying to play.
No, sorry. I take it back. Don't do anything like that.
Albino Yeti writes in and says the Elder Scrolls Online free deal is also available on PlayStation 4 and PC. Thank you very much. Okay. I only saw it promoted on all Xbox. Right. Zaire says also out today, Splatoon 2 update 4.3.0 is out today. It is also the last update for maps, weapons, abilities for Splatoon 2. No, I think we knew that, Ignacio. Kebab says breaking news. Rapper 2 Milli is suing Epic Games for selling his Milli Rock dance as an emote called Swipe It. So that's happening. And then Joaquin Nguyen says Annapurna Interactive just tweeted this. We're excited to bring At Gone Home Game to the App Store next week. Available for pre-order on the iPad and iPhone right now. Releases worldwide December
11th. Gone Home, a classic now on mobile. I love it.
Everywhere. Go get him, Steve Gaynor. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Watch it live, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Watch it later, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Listen on podcast services around the globe. Tomorrow's host, Thursday, is Tim and Jared. Friday, it is Tim and Andre Seegers from Game Explained. That means this is my final live appearance on any of the shows before the Kind of Funny Games Showcase. I want to thank you all so much for your unending support that makes Kind of Funny go around. But more than that, your support for the showcase, which started as such a stupid idea on Twitter and has now become a giant thing that is so amazing and the most important thing I've ever done in my career. So thank you for being part of that and giving us a stage that we can welcome so many different indies and developers in to do cool stuff with. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.